This is according to the clock on the wall, and you know, we're supposed to be done in just like somewhere between 5 and 20 minutes. But good news is my watch is running late, so I got a half hour. But I'm not putting this one off again. If you have your Bibles and you want to turn with me to the Gospel of John, chapter 21. Start with verse 15. We will be doing our second to the last message in our series on the Gospel of John. Gospel of John, chapter 21, 15th verse. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you truly love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," he said. "You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my lambs." Again, Jesus said, "Simon, son of John, do you truly love me?" He answered, "Yes, Lord. You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Take care of my sheep." The third time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Well, Peter was hurt. Jesus asked him the third time, "Do you love me?" He said, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my sheep. I tell you the truth. When you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you to where you do not want to go." Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. Then he said to him, "Follow me." Let's pray. Father God, we do thank you for your word. We thank you for the hope that is inherent in your word. We ask now, Lord, that you'd send your Holy Spirit to guide us and to give us wisdom and understanding where we might be confused and unsure. Lord, give us that godly wisdom which can only come through you. Help us to see how this word applies to our lives and encourages us this day. Now, Lord, help us to focus on you and set aside the cares of the day. Father, I pray that your anointing be upon me as I speak, that I wouldn't be chasing rabbit trails that aren't important, but instead that as I speak here this morning, I would use every word that you want me to use and leave aside every one that you don't. Lord, I pray that every person here would go away this morning knowing that you've spoken to them and that you love them. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, one of the interesting things about this passage is that this is indeed the third time Jesus has met with the disciples. Okay, first time was the evening of the resurrection. He meets with the disciples. He meets them there. Next time is a day or a few days later. We're not exactly sure what the count is there. We've got Doubting Thomas. And Jesus comes again and says, touch me. I am here. And then, because of a message of the Lord that he'd given, they go on up to the Sea of Galilee to wait upon him. He told them, go there and wait. Now, later he tells them to go back and wait in Jerusalem for the coming of the Holy Spirit. But before that time, he does tell the disciples, go up to the Sea of Galilee. Hang out there for a little bit. And this is where they're at. Now, remember the situation. The day before Jesus was crucified, Peter stood and told Jesus, everybody else may leave you, but I will give my life for you. Jesus said, before the cock crows, you're going to disown me three times. And that's exactly what happened. In the heat of the moment, when they went to arrest him, Peter did pull out the sword, and being such a wonderful swordsman, he managed to hack off a servant's ear. Okay? He just, he was trying. He just wasn't good at it. And he was never going to protect his Lord that way. The futility of it. Surrounded by 100 soldiers and this fisherman with a sword is going to, it's not going to do it. And Jesus tells him, put away the sword, and he heals the ear. And he goes with him. Because in his own right, he could have walked away. In fact, when he said, I am, all the soldiers fell down. But Jesus is arrested, and Peter does deny his Lord three times. Now, the three-time thing is important. I talked about this before. In Jewish law at that time, in that society, if you repeated something three times, it was considered to be a binding deal. If a husband wanted to divorce his wife, it was, I divorce you, I divorce you, I divorce you. Boom, that's it. I said it three times. It's a done deal. And Peter had made that denial three times. So he said, even though Jesus has come back and talked to me and included me in, Peter still has that nagging thing in the back of his mind going, it's called the enemy, whispering in his ear saying, you denied Jesus. You denied Jesus. You're not really one of his disciples. He really doesn't trust you. You denied Jesus. Over and over his mind. Anybody ever have that kind of thing going on in their head? Come on. I only see a couple hands up. Chris, you always say, you always raise your hand. Okay, there you go. Peter's going through this. A couple weeks ago, I talked about that. Hey, he sees this sitting there at the lake. He's a fisherman, hasn't been fishing, he's depressed. Even though, Jesus is resurrected, good things are happening, he still has the lingering bad stuff, which is still bringing depression. See, even though things are going great, sometimes we can still have depression, we can still be sad. It's weird, but so are people. Okay? And Peter's going through this, so he goes fishing. Because fishing makes him feel better. It's just one of those things. And he goes out there and he's fishing. And Jesus calls him in. And he's all excited. Peter's jumps in the water again to swim into Jesus because he's so excited. And then Jesus sits down at the fire. And is there anybody in the sound booth? Not seeing any heads. Okay. We got to get those guys taller chairs. Okay. Chris, first slide. And they're sitting there and Jesus is cooking them some fish. Probably very similar to this. This is the situation, and Jesus turns to Peter and he says, "Do you love me more than these?" Now the question is, could be two parts. He could be asking, "Do you love me more than these fish?" And every fisherman loves fish, but Jesus said, "Do you love me more than these?" And he said, "Yeah, I love you more than I love fish." Or he could be talking about his disciples. Oh, two more. Go for the disciple. Yeah. But these guys. They're floating around there, and Jesus, you know, he could be referring to the disciples. "Do you love me more than these guys love me? What is the depth of your love? Do you love me more than fish? Do you love me more than these guys?" Either one could have been the question. Okay. But whatever the response was, Jesus said, "Feed my lambs." Okay. We should have rehearsed. Okay, next slide. He told him, "Feed my lambs." How many of you have ever fed a lamb? Greedy little guys, aren't they? They'll just grab the whole that and they go for it. And if there's a couple lambs and there's only one bottle, have you got a battle? You got to kind of separate them out. Now, think about this. In order to feed a lamb back then, they could do it. They did it. Bottles feed lambs. They just didn't have our nice little bottles with the plastic nipples. They had to make them out of leather, out of a leather bag. I mean, they did take care of little lambs. They're cute as the dickens, but they're a lot of work. When does a baby need to be fed? Anybody? When I was in sales, Donna one time went to the sale barn. We lived in Princeton, and I traveled around the country, and I would be gone for quite a few weeks, sometimes months at a time. I called home one night, and Donna had been to the sale barn that day, and she'd bought not a little lamb, but a little baby goat. The veterinarian had told her that the kid goat was not going to live because it needed to be fed every hour. She said, "Yes, it will." So she fed that lamb or that kid goat every hour. And that's the same type of thing that Jesus is asking of Peter right then. He's saying, "Will you feed my little lamb?" The little lamb. He's not, if you look in the, it's translated just lambs there, but it's actually little lambs. Now, Donna was up every hour. And she, you know, look, she didn't have to tramp all the way out to the barn because she brought the kid goat into the house. And she kept him there until he was big enough to go out to the barn, according to her criteria. Now, eventually we had to buy more goats then because the goat fixated upon her and wanted to follow her everywhere. This is the way sheep and lambs work, goats and lambs work, is they do follow you. But Donna took a lot of hard work to feed that lamb. And that's what the question that Peter was being asked. Will you do the hard work? Then the second time, Jesus said, "Feed my lambs." It says, Simon, son of John. You know, that's like my mother saying, Bruce Charles Hobbs. Are you sure? Okay. Simon, son of John. This is not Peter, my buddy. This is his formal given name. Peter was kind of a... Instead of calling Christopher, most of the time we call Chris. It's just a diminutive form. It's just something he is. Or we call George Butch. Butch isn't his name, but it is. Well, but here he is going. We see that the seriousness of it. Take care of my sheep. Next slide. Shepherding is a lot of hard work. The shepherd that you see in this picture, these guys, they're in their 80s. In fact, the one guy standing up there, he's 81. He's been doing this a lifetime. But I want you to see as you look at this picture, and I'm glad that it's big enough. You can see the rocks around. These guys are up in the mountains where there's very little pasturage, but at night it gets cold and the sheep need to be protected. And in order to keep the sheep warm, you want them huddled together. And to protect them, you need them in a confined space so you can watch them so that wild animals don't come in and plus they don't fall off a cliff, which is quite a real danger. They've built a little pen out in the middle of nowhere, and all around those, that's a rock wall, which these guys have built themselves. And at night, in order to close it up, because there's no wood up there, they close it up with rocks. And then they tear it down. Next slide. And they lead the sheep out so they can get to pasture. He says, well, take care of my sheep. Next. Just doesn't mean that you walk off and say, okay, sheepies, follow me. Young sheep quite often need to be carried. And that was the task that Jesus was asking. Now, you see this guy, he doesn't have one lamb under his arm. Two, he's got three in his arm. He's got a full load. And he's carrying them with. Why? Well, because either these guys have been wandering off or they're just too small to keep up or whatever. But it was the shepherd's job to care for the sheep and make sure that none are left behind. Okay. Then the third time. He's asked, Simon, son of John, do you love me? And Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time. Now, Peter denied Jesus three times. That's why he asked him three times. But even this time, he says, feed my sheep. Slide. Feeding sheep just isn't a process of putting out a little food. You got to lead them. You got to lead them through places where there is no food. Next. To the place where there is food. Where there is pasture. Where there is something for them to eat. And that's the shepherd's job. And that's the task that Jesus was giving to Peter. You say, well, okay, Chris, you can say, well, I'm not Peter. Oh, really? How many of you have never denied your Lord in thought, word, or deed? I'm waiting for a hand to come up. Smart Alec. No. Somewhere along the line, we've denied him in our thoughts, in our deed, or in something we said. Either maybe we've denied him by not proclaiming him when somebody else is saying, you know, all those Christians are a bunch of... Maybe you kept your mouth shut, just didn't say anything. Maybe you actively stood up in front of God one time and said, God, I hate you. Maybe you just walked away and you didn't even realize it till one day you turned around and you found yourself in a place and you said, God can't be here. Well, yeah, he was because he's living within you, but your eyes get blinded to that. And you stop looking for him. Fact of the matter is, there isn't one of us that lives perfectly. And the hope that this passage has for us is that Peter, who three times categorically denied, never knew him, nope, don't know who you're talking about, that's not me, you must be mistaking me for somebody else, what kind of a nut job are you, asking me if I'm a follower of that guy, I wouldn't do that. That Peter did that. And yet Jesus comes to him and gives him this most demanding of tasks. The guy who denied him, who gave up when going got tough, is now given the toughest task there is. Feed my sheep. Be the shepherd of my people. Now, shepherding, as I said, is hard work. And how can Jesus expect that Peter is going to be able to stick with it? Things have changed. See, before, before the resurrection, Christ did not indwell Peter, did he? No. He stood right there. He saw him. But he didn't have that strength, though. He didn't have Christ. He didn't have the Holy Spirit inside of him, changing and conforming him, empowering him. All he had was his own resources. You know what? When we depend upon our own resources, each and every time we're going to come up short. But, see, Peter learned. And don't think that Peter didn't stumble along the way. Okay? We know for a fact that he did, even after he received the Holy Spirit. But that when he depended upon God, when he depended on the resources of God, he did get through. He did make it. Even unto a crucifixion. There are stories that would have us to believe that he was crucified upside down. Don't know if that's true or not, but we're pretty certain he was crucified. Jesus said, "Follow me." He meant it. Don't think you're not going to have troubles and trials and tribulations. Jesus certainly had them. But we do know that Jesus overcame resurrection morning. We have the proof of that victory. And that same victory is available for you and for me, for each and every one of us. That's the encouragement we can take from this. If God can reinstate Peter, who by the laws of the day had divorced his relationship with him, as legal as having gone to court and said, "I'm going to have nothing to do with you. He's not." Jesus reinstated him and said, "No, if you love me, and I know you do, then do this task." And Jesus gives that to each and every one of us. He gives each of us a task to do, and He also empowers us in how to do it. So, today, I want you to ask yourself a question. In what way, how is the Lord asking me to feed His sheep? Then seek the Lord and lean on Him. And He will help you in that shepherd's task. Let's pray. Father, we do thank You that You are a gracious and loving God. Lord, we thank You that we who are sheep, not a very flattering picture at times. Are also asked to be shepherds. Very arduous and difficult. Sometimes lonely. And not very respected job. Father, help us, each one, to be the shepherds of the sheep You have given each of us. And to be good sheep to those You have given shepherdage over us. And Father, we thank You that we can see the depth of Your grace and mercy in Your reinstating of Peter. And how through the way He did and was able to follow You and to feed Your sheep, to live for You and follow You even unto a death very similar unto Your own, many years later. Lord, and we take encouragement from that in the reality of Your reaction, Your resurrection. For it's only through that that a man could have the faith and strength to do what was done. Give us that same faith and strength in our lives this day. That same strength which You used, power of the Holy Spirit, to resurrect Your Son Jesus, Lord. We pray for that in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.